Joining us now is our special cinema correspondent, Gary Chu. You went to go see a movie lately.
Oh, yeah, I've seen several, but, you know, one of the ones that people are really talking about these days, it's been out for a couple, three, maybe almost a month now, is Mighty Wind.
And you traipsed down to see this.
I traipsed downtown Sacramento to, I think, the Tower to enjoy this bit of entertainment.
Well, I've seen it too, so let's, what did you think?
I think I kind of agree generally with some of the other reviews that I've read on it, and that's not always the case. I thought A Mighty Wind had some really funny places in it. I was really laughing pretty hard. But comparing it to its predecessor, This is Spinal Tap, it kind of plays a second banana, I'm afraid.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Gary, because on our show some months ago, we did funny movies of all time. That was my pick as the funniest movie ever. This is Spinal Tap.
It's really a funny flick. It really is.
And you know, by the way, I noticed that that The New Yorker now agrees with me. They call it arguably the funniest movie ever made.
Well, I think This is Spinal Tap is an awfully funny film, but it's modern times, but Charlie Chaplin's a pretty funny movie, and also is... the Frankenstein movie by Mel Brooks is also pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
But you're right. The Spinal Tap is awfully funny, mainly because it's kind of a dry film. It's you know, I mean, it's low-key most of the time, whereas A Mighty Wind, they're kind of pushing the wind all the time. In fact, every time I read the title, Mighty Wind, I guess I can say this on your show, I always think of flatulence. But
yeah.
That in itself is funny, I think.
Yeah. Well, of course, they did have an album before that called Break Like the Wind as Spinal Tap.
But they got to keep going with that.
Yeah, these same three guys, Harry Shearer, Christopher Guest, and Michael McKean, were three rock musicians in Spinal Tap. And somewhere along the line, they got the idea to be their own opening act, The Folksmen, a recycled bunch of 60s folk music players. And I guess they got the idea from that to go ahead and just make a whole movie on that subject.
You know, and it was really, in spots, it was really funny. In fact, I even almost got choked in a couple of places, particularly when Fred Willard was on the screen.
Yes.
I thought he was really funny.
Yes.
Michael McKean is funny. Harry Shearer, not quite so funny.
Yeah.
And Eugene Levy, who was one of the principal scriptwriters, really kind of left me cold.
Yeah,
in
he kind of sinks the movie, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
And I think I have an idea as to why... this film, Mighty Wind, is not as good as This is Spinal Tap, and that is that the movie, or rather the music about the movie in A Mighty Wind is the movie, the music itself is kind of a cheesy genre of folk pop, which really never made it big. It got kind of close, but never really made it.
Right.
But This is Spinal Tap is about music that has to do with a kind of... music that's very important to pop culture today and for over the many, many decades in the past. And the fact that this is serious pop culture music, it's easier to make fun of the egomaniacal self-absorbed rock and rollers that are in This is Spinal Tap,
right.
Whereas the guys on the stage singing in A Mighty Wind, they're already kind of goofy and funny and silly anyway to starting off. So,
yeah.
They had to push all the time to try to make Mighty Wind funny, and it just kind of went flat in places.
Yeah, and I think rock and roll is probably an easier target, a natural target to make fun of than folk music. The News and Review, Sacramento News and Review magazine, I had to quote you, I have in front of me here, their comment on A Mighty Wind, where they went to Martin Mull, talking about, Martin Mull used to talk about the folk music scare of the 1960s. Boy, that was close, wasn't it? That crap almost caught on.
Well, you know, I hate to say this, but I kind of remember watching Hootenanny on TV a long time ago. And
well, I do too.
Stuff. You know, it was kind of a hoot, but you know, it's something you couldn't really take that seriously. Whereas when you see a film about serious, uptight, neurotic rock and rollers, you're really going to laugh, and you can keep it really subtle. And that's why Spinal Tap plays so well even today.
Yeah. No argument from me. I guess you have not seen some of the other... there's, I guess, four movies in this series, starting with This is Spinal Tap, ending with A Mighty Wind. In the meantime, there's Waiting for Guffman and Best in Show, which I think are both very funny movies.
I've seen Best in Show.
Yeah.
And very funny indeed it is. Michael McKean, again, in this, and Fred Willard too, both really, you know, just great. Yeah. I think.
Well, I think if they'd had five more minutes of Fred Willard in A Mighty Wind, it would have been a whole different experience.
I think there was a little bit. I agree with you. I think he could have been in a little bit more. And I can't remember the male female duo in the film. Their name.
Mitch and Mickey.
Yeah, Mitch and Mickey. Yeah. I think there's a little bit too much of Mitch and Mickey in it. Yeah. And I really never got too many chuckles from watching them do their thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that that about wraps it up. We'd like to thank Gary Chu for being as insightful as always. Now, I heard from Dr. Andy Jones of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour that as regards folk music, we do have folk music right here on KDVS. Yes, on Saturdays from 9 a.m. to noon, Robin Shaw and Bill Wegman. The show is called, oddly enough, The Saturday Morning Folk Show. And according to KDVations, our fine publication put out quarterly as regards this radio station, it says it includes a wide variety of folk music, including Celtic, bluegrass, old time, and Americana. We thought we'd best have Dr. Andy come on the show and talk a little bit about the art of folk music. It certainly is poetry put to music, and that is his specialty. And as long as I have a copy of KDVations in my hand, I should point out to you that Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour comes to you every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., just as we do every Thursday. And Dr. Andy's program can be described as a multidisciplinary exploration of entertaining thought, opinion, and current events somehow connected to poetry and technology. We listen regularly and think you should too. Dr. Andy, are you there?
Dr. Doug, I'm here. It's great to talk to you again.
Well, we're glad to have you. Now, you and I were talking about this movie, The Mighty Wind, a very amusing little bit of cinematography by Christopher Guest.
I really enjoyed the film.
But we thought that perhaps the whole genre of folk music may be getting a little bit of short shrift.
It's always interesting when something is being satirized that many people in the audience might not know very well. And I think that this is something that we've seen in the Christopher Guest films before, whether he's looking at community theater and Waiting for Guffman or dog show aficionados in Best of Show. I know a little bit about theater, nothing, thankfully, about dog shows. And so when I saw those films, there's always a little bit of a sense of alienation that we're making fun of people who are in such a small esoteric group that it almost doesn't seem fair. But I think that's not exactly true about folk music, just because it was such a thriving industry, if you will, in the 1960s with a lot of interesting and talented writers and poets. Putting to music some fascinating lyrics, and also lyrics that had a political vein that is not really explored in the movie itself. The influence, I think, has been muddied or diluted by kind of the advent of electronic pop and hip-hop music and other forms of music that don't always recognize or trace back their roots to great musicians of the past. When we think about folk music, we usually think first about an oral tradition of ballads and so forth in 18th and 19th centuries, and especially in Britain and Scotland, where these tunes would tell stories that people would sing in the evenings to each other and in pubs and so forth. And this was true in the 19th and 20th centuries in the United States. It really became a more broadly understood art form after the advent of the tape recorder, where Alan and John Lomax would go out into the field and usually in the Deep South, find musicians who had been taught songs or who had written songs like Leadbelly did, and just ask them to perform their music. And I think that a kind of nascent tradition was reborn when people could actually hear this music. And this began to affect people like Pete Seeger and Woody Guthrie and Bob Dylan to continue with that tradition of music that comes from the people. You know, there are echoes of even John Steinbeck novels.
Sure.
In some of the music, especially, say, of Woody Guthrie, with the focus on what sort of musical traditions come from poor people, country people, people who are less educated, rather than only those traditions of, you know, originally of the court, but then of those people in favor with the government and other moneyed interests who had the time and leisure to devote to, I don't know, poetry that, say, at least through modernism, was more obscure and less befitting for a general public to enjoy and especially sing along with.
Because we certainly think of American folk music as the opposite of sort of courtly music played for the king. It's always something on the outsider, songs of protest.
Exactly. Songs of protest, songs that are questioning the status quo, especially when the status quo is kind of bellicose, as is the case today. Whenever a country is going off to war, in at least in the 20th and now the 21st centuries in this country, there's always a kind of counter-narrative where people, musicians, poets, are questioning the need for the war, questioning the need to subordinate love to hate, peace to war. And we could see that in some of the anti-war lyrics being written today, but more famously so in lyrics by, we think especially of Pete Seeger and Where Have All the Flowers Gone.
Talk a little bit about the poetry of a simple song, such a simple song of protest like Where Have All the Flowers Gone?
Where Have All the Flowers Gone was written, the words and music were written originally by Pete Seeger and published in 1961. A tune like Where Have All the Flowers Gone starts very almost like a wishy-washy ballad with Where Have All the Flowers Gone, Long Time Passing, Where Have All the Flowers Gone, Long Time Ago, Where Have All the Flowers Gone, Girls Have Picked Them, Everyone, When Will They Ever Learn, When Will They Ever Learn. And I think that this, you know, this first stanza might be a typical representation of what a lot of people think of as poetry, you know,
sure.
Words about flowers and little girls and in fields picking flowers, and that there's not a lot of substance there. But as the next stanza reads, where have all the young girls gone, long time passing? Where have all the young girls gone, long time ago? Where have all the young girls gone, taken husbands, everyone? And so now with the evolution of the young girls, they're taking husbands. The next stanza asks, where have all the young men gone? Gone for soldiers, everyone. And then the recurring stanza or chorus, when will they ever learn? And then, where have all the soldiers gone? Gone to graveyards, everyone. When will they ever learn? And then, where have all the graveyards gone? Covered with flowers, everyone. So there's an interesting unity and simplicity where we return to this image of the flower, that here this idea of a flower takes on new meaning, and it is the gentle covering of a whole generation of young boys who are sent by their elders off to a faraway land, to a war that neither they nor the grieving young widows back home really understand. So the symbolic resonance of the flower, whereas it seems kind of maudlin and sentimental in the first stanza,
winds up very hard-hitting in the end.
Absolutely, hard-hitting,
oh,
and a much more clearly political message in this kind of light folk tune by Pete Seeger.
You also mentioned Bob Dylan. And
yeah, with God on Our Side, and it begins with a Midwesterner's view of God. He says, the speaker says, oh, my name, it is nothing. My age, it means less. The country I come from is called the Midwest. I was taught and brought up there, the laws to abide, and that land that I live in has God on its side. So here it starts almost as a patriotic tune. But then the song continues, oh, the history books tell it, they tell it so well, the cavalry's charge, the Indians fell, the cavalry's charge, the Indians died, oh, the country was young with God on its side. So there's an exploration of this idea of manifest destiny and the displacement of the original peoples of the United States. This patriotic religious sentiment of the first stanza is mediated somewhat by our understanding of what has been done to Native Americans. The next stanza explores the Spanish-American War and the Civil War, and then the stanza after that, the First World War. It reads, oh, the First World War, boys, it closed out its fate. The reason for fighting, I never got straight, but I learned to accept it with pride, for you don't count the dead when God's on your side. So that idea that Pete Seeger explores and Where Have All the Flowers Gone, of counting your dead, returns here. But here it's the First World War, and a war that, just as it was out of the memory of many of the young listeners of Bob Dylan when he wrote the song in 1963, is even more true today. The suggestion is, though, that if you have God on your side, if you know that might is right, then there's no real need to count the dead or even to understand the reason for fighting. And then he actually brings up chemical weapons, but now we got weapons of the chemical dust. If fire them we're forced to, then fire them we must. One push of the button and a shot the world wide, and you never ask questions when God's on your side.
Well, Dr. Andy, I think you've done a good job of explaining some of the poetry involved in folk music and why it isn't necessarily something to be made a burlesque of. Well, yes, it can simultaneously be made a burlesque of in a very funny movie, The Mighty Wind, and yet it's something that I think we've maybe forgotten over the years, the whole form of music.
I think that we have, and it's really a delight to return to some of these lyrics as poetry, and I've always been a big fan of Dylan's lyrics, so I'm glad to see that you asked me to talk about that particular song. But to return to these as poetry and see that great and important messages were being communicated by a popular art form, especially in the 1960s and early 70s.
Very good.
Dr. Doug, it's been a pleasure as always to talk to you this afternoon.
Dr. Andy, thanks so much. And we recommend everyone listening to please tune into your program next Wednesday at 5 o'clock.
Excellent.
Right here on 90.3 FM.
Take care now.
Let us now make that transition between public affairs broadcasting and musical broadcasting by bridging the gap. Let's bring to you some of the tunes we've just been talking about with Dr. Andy. Where Have All the Flowers Gone is a classic. I had no idea it was written by Pete Seeger, but let's hear it as performed by the Kingston Trio.
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the flowers gone? Young girls pick them, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? Where have all the young girls gone? Long time passing. Where have all the young girls gone? Long time ago. Where have all the young girls gone? Gone to young men, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? Where have all the young men gone? Long time passing. Where have all the young men gone? Long time ago. Where have all the young men gone? Gone for soldiers, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? is gone. Gone to graveyards, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? Where have all the graveyards gone? Long time passing. Where have all the graveyards gone? Long time ago. Where have all the graveyards gone? Gone to flowers, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn?
You know, if that isn't poetry, I don't think the word has any meaning. Let's also hear Bob Dylan's With God on Our Side, or at least portions of.
And then the Second World War, it came to an end. We forgave the Germans, and now we are friends. Though they murdered 6 million in the ovens they fried, the Germans now too have God on their side. But now we have weapons of chemical dust, and if fire them we're forced to, why then fire them we must. One push out the button and a shot the world wide, and you never ask questions when God's on your side. Oh, many a long hour I've thought on this, that Jesus Christ was betrayed by a kiss. But I can't think for you, you will have to decide whether Judas Iscariot had God on his side. And now as I leave you, I'm weary as hell. The confusion I'm feeling, there ain't no tongue can tell. The words fill my head and drop to the floor, that if God's on our side, he'll stop the next war.
All right, as we now pass the baton to Todd, or prepare to, I think we need to go out with a rousing bit of, it's not exactly folk music, but it certainly is, has connections to it and is a song of protest. Country Joe McDonald's Feeling Like I'm Fixin' to Die Rag.
Give me an F!
Yeah!
Give me an I!
I!
Give me an S!
Yes!
Give me an H!
H!
What's that spell?
I'd like to thank our special guest, Reese Ehrlich, for returning to the program today, as well as our cinema correspondent, Gary Chu, and, as always, Dr. Andy Jones. This program was produced by Mr. Edward McMillan. I'm Douglas Everett. This is Radio Parallax. You are, of course, listening to KDVS 90.3 FM. We'll see you next week.
Come on, General. road, let's move fast. Your big chance has come at last. Gotta go out, get those reds. The only good commie is one that's dead. And you know that peace can only be won when the golden rule of the kingdom come.
And it's one, two, three. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. And it's five, six, seven. Open up the pearly gates. Well, there ain't no time to wonder why we're all gonna die. If they drop the bomb, they drop it on the Viet Cong. And it's one, two, three. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. And it's five, six, seven. Open up the pearly gates. Well, ain't no time to wonder why we're all gonna die.
Well, come on, brothers throughout the land. Back your boys up to Vietnam. Come on, fathers, don't hesitate. Send them off before it's too late. Be the first one on your block to have your boy come home in a box.
And it's one, two, three. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. And it's five, six, seven. Open up the pearly gates.